We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 14, entitled Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening, text number 47. Yat prasadaditam vishvam, prasidati yadatmakam, sa sadrak bhagavan yasya, Toshyate nanyaya drasha Yat prasadaditam. Translation: everyone will be pleased with him because the personality of Godhead, the supreme controller of the universe, is always satisfied with a devotee who does not wish for anything beyond him. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated everywhere as the Super Soul, and he can dictate to anyone and everyone as he likes. The would-be grandson of Diti, who was predicted to be a great devotee, would be liked by everyone, even by the enemies of his father, because he would have no other vision besides the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure devotee of the Lord sees the presence of his worshipable Lord everywhere. The Lord reciprocates in such a way that all living entities in whom the Lord is dwelling as a super soul also like a pure devotee, because the Lord is present in their hearts and can dictate to them to be friendly to his devotee. There are many instances in history wherein even the most ferocious animal became friendly to a pure devotee of the Lord. Om jnanatimirandhasya jnanachana chalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano bhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupakadamahyam dadati swapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yutapadakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajadam sahagana rakhunathanyutam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyasya Kribasindhu Bhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vubhudai Mahadbhir Yaima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhungte Gunansho Dasha Shoda Shatmaka Soran Krishishta Bhagavan Vachamsime. Hare Krishna. Here, Kashyapa is explaining the characteristics of a great devotee who would appear as his grandson. So on one side, he already predicted the misfortune of having two sons who would create havoc to the whole universe. And after that, as a benediction, he is presenting the future appearance of a pure devotee who would be glorified as par as with the Supreme Lord himself. So that is none other than Prahlad Maharaj. So when we talk about Prahlad Maharaj, we naturally remember Lord Narasimhadev. And similarly, when we talk about Narasimhadev, we do remember Prahlad Maharaj. So here, some of the characteristics of this great devotee is mentioned here. One of the interesting character of a pure devotee, a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, is that he will be friendly to everyone and everyone will be friendly to him. Everyone will like him. It's a good character. Actually, everyone would like to be loved by everyone else, right? Everyone wants to be sociable and everyone wants friendship and everyone is looking to be loved and liked by everyone else. It may not happen all the time because that's not the nature of this world, but everyone likes it. So people don't like you, at least try to post it something on the Facebook and get a lot of likes. So somehow that we want to be liked. So it is just, we want to be liked or we want to be loved simply because of our sense gratification, simply for our sense gratification and for the satisfaction of our false ego. So we want to be liked, we want to be popular, we want to be famous. So this is going on in this world. However, here when you talk about someone like Prahlad Maharaj, it is completely on a different platform. We will discuss further how it works out. People are ready to go anywhere to get a friendly atmosphere, right? People are ready to change their neighbors. People may change their job. They may even get relocated to a different country to get a friendly atmosphere. And if you see any relation of this world, it is very much reciprocal. Among friends, among partners, in the job, anywhere. If you see the relation, it is very much reciprocal. And in that reciprocal relationship, people really want to be liked by others. However, when we see from a Bhagavatam perspective, it is nothing but interaction between the minds and the senses. What you call someone like someone, it is simply an interaction between the mind and the senses. The real person is hardly involved in a relationship. It is just the senses are interacting, the minds are interacting. So when you talk about the relations, it is nothing but intersection of different minds and the senses. But the real person, the spirit soul, the real self, is not present in the relation. As far as the vocabulary is concerned, maximum one would say soul to soul relation. But it is just a vocabulary. No one is really meaning what is soul. People don't know what is soul. So what to speak about relation between soul to soul? So this is the plight of the society where one's deeper self remains completely untouched. So the relation becomes completely superficial. And that's why if you see in this world, the social media is so prominent. It is there in all spheres of life. And people want to be connected. But the reality is that this is the time of greatest disconnect. It is not the time of greatest connections, but it is a time of greatest disconnect. Even there is a book called The Big Disconnect. It is about social media. Showing, according to the social studies, how people are feeling more lonelier than ever before. Even though everyone is connected. And everything and everyone is connected now. It's like the internet of things. Even the objects are connected. But what to speak about the real connection? It's not there. I was reading an article, in fact, a few months back about smart homes. It was interesting. It's not just the smartphones are gone, it's the smart homes. They were telling, okay, when you get up, you will have the alarm, the song that you would like, that will be played loudly. You don't need to do anything. And the lights will be turned on automatically. And as you walk, the nice music will be playing according to your taste. It will be playing as you walk. And the coffee will be ready. Everything will be automatically done. You don't need another person. You don't need a partner for this, or you don't need to do it yourself. It'll be automatically done. And in the fridge, it'll automatically take the stocks, how much is there, and it'll tell, send you an SMS to your mobile. Okay, you need to buy this and something. It's not that a wife is calling the husband or sending a text message, okay, go buy such and such things. It'll be done automatically. So everything is connected, but still, nobody is really connected. In fact, in the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj, even a pillar was connected. When Prahlad Maharaj thought, okay, are you there? He asked, the Lord is there in the pillar? The pillar, the Lord manifested there in itself. So there is a whole difference in the relationship among the non-devotees and relationship of the devotee to a non-devotee and to the Supreme Lord. There is a difference. So when we talk about reciprocal relationship in this world, when we talk about a relationship of a devotee to anyone else, it is actually a triangular relationship. Because the devotee is there, a person, second person is there, and the Lord is there as the super soul, as the Paramatma. Because Paramatma is present in everyone's heart. Sarvasya chaham hrudi sannivishto. Ishara sarvabhutanam hrudeshu arjuna tishtati. You know, in everyone's heart, the super soul is present. So actually everyone is connected. So it is not just the living entities are connected by the super soul, but even the inanimate objects are also connected by the Lord. Andantarastam paramanu chayantarastam govinda madhipurushantam ham bhajami. So even in the atom, or whatever you call it as atom, whatever the minutest particle of matter that one can find, even in that the presence of the Supreme Lord is there. So even that is connected. So not the animate objects, but animate and inanimate objects are connected completely, all the time. There is no network failure at any point in time. Right? Always connected. So this is the presence of the Lord. And when we are talking about the relationship of a devotee to anyone, so the Lord is present in that relationship. So this is actually the qualification of a devotee. If we are talking about a pure devotee can see not just the next person or an object, but he can see the Lord also simultaneously. So for example, that's why we don't kick objects, right? We don't kick, we understand we shouldn't kick objects, even though they are inanimate. Say for example, there's a chair, we don't kick the chair. We don't kick the bucket. Because we see connection to all inanimate object also to Krishna. We see that connection. So we think, okay, we can use it in service of Krishna. Ultimately, it is a paraphernalia to be used in Krishna's service. So we need to respect. One time, Gangeshwar Prabhu was telling this story in Bhagavatam as well. At that time, Ramaya Maharaj was the temple president. And Gangeshwar Prabhu and another devotee, they were supposed to go for collection and come back. So they had the temple car. They drove so fast and they came back very fast. So Maharaj calculated the time. So he checked, you know, they came, you know, around half an hour earlier than it's supposed to be. So Maharaj said, you were speeding like anything. So you were abusing Krishna's property. So Maharaj told Gangeshwar Prabhu and the other devotee, first you go and pay obeisances to the car for offending. So this is actually seeing the properties in connection to Krishna. So it is not just the person. So what to speak about abusing people? So even objects are seen in connection to Krishna because they are used in service of Krishna. So this is a devotee and his connection. So there, the Lord has all the rights to dictate. That's what Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport. He can dictate any relation. Even if you mistreat the objects, Krishna can reciprocate in a way that we learn a lesson. Right? Krishna can do that. He can do with anything. It is not restricted to the persons. The object can also reciprocate. Something can fall on the head. It's as easier as that. Anything can happen. Krishna can give us the lesson through anything and everything. But only a devotee can see. And that too, only a sincere devotee can see Krishna's hand. In the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj, it is mentioned that even his father's enemies were liking Prahlad Maharaj. That even the demigods, they were liking Prahlad Maharaj. Because all the demigods were afraid of Hiranyakashipu and they couldn't do anything. And they wanted the appearance of the Supreme Lord to pacify the situation. And only who could bring the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Only Prahlad Maharaj, just a 5-year-old boy. It is mentioned that the Lord can appear in any way. Just we saw a pastime before, Varahadev appeared, the boar incarnation of the Lord appeared from the nostrils of Lord Brahma. It is obviously, it is quite a weird appearance, but he chose to come in that way. How about Vamanadev? How he appeared? He chose his father and mother as Aditi and Kashyapa Muni. And for Lord Ramachandra, he chose Dasharath, right, as his father, and Kausalya as his mother. So it is his choice, he chose. But when it came to the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj, what was his choice? He was forced to choose a pillar as his father and mother. So, Narasimhadev's another name is Stambha Aja. Means one who appeared from Stambha, from a pillar. So he had to choose the pillar as his father and mother. He didn't have any option. So in other words, if you're coming from the womb of the mother, that womb became the pillar. Because Prahlad Maharaj wanted him to appear from the pillar, because he told, Hiranyakashipu asked, is your Lord in this pillar? So Prahlad Maharaj said, yes, the Lord is there everywhere. He can see the Lord everywhere. He said, yes, it's in the pillar. Then the Lord appeared. He had to appear. So this is considered very glorious, because a young boy forced the Lord to appear. So this is the greatness of bhakti. Srila Prabhupada says that Mayavadis or the impersonalists want to become one with the Lord. They want to become God. So they do all the austerities to become God. And Prabhupada says, which is better? A Vaishnava can bring Lord completely under his control. So God becomes under his control. Which is better? Prabhupada asks. So Vaishnava is even superior than the impersonalists. So this is the position. And in fact, they can never become God. That is just an illusion. As Prabhupada says, that is the last snare of Maya or the illusion. Here, one very important point is mentioned about a pure devotee, that the Lord is always satisfied with a devotee who does not wish for anything beyond him. So why the Lord becomes completely purchased by his pure devotee? Because the devotee doesn't want anything other than the Lord. As you surrender, I reciprocate accordingly. So it is up to, as we surrender unto Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates accordingly. Even Krishna takes more steps. Prabhupada said this. If we take one step, then Krishna will take 10 steps towards us. So this is the reciprocation of the Lord. So Prahlad Maharaj tells that, I don't want to be like a businessman. That I don't want to ask anything from you and get something in return. So that is a business deal. So there is religiosity. There are religions in which we ask Krishna, we ask God for different things. And Krishna becomes just like a wish-fulfilling father. He gives something. If you ask something, the Lord reciprocates. He gives something in return. Generally something material. But Prahlad Maharaj says, I don't want such kind of a relation. I am unconditionally your servant. Prahlad says this point. It is very interesting. He says, eternally you are my master and I am your servant. And that is my natural position. And for that sake, I don't want anything from you. Here also we serve. For example, if we work a job, we have to serve a master in this world. So many people serve different companies. But as they stop paying, we stop working. So we are also serving, but if money is, if there is no reciprocation, then we don't want any relation, which is, isn't it? Even in the material world, any relation, practically, if there is no reciprocation, then we don't want to continue any relation. However, Prahlad Maharaj says, that's not the case. Whatever you do, I am always your servant. And ultimately, that is the mood of Mahaprabhu also. Mahaprabhu says, that is the conclusion of Shikshashtakam. Right? Ashishleva padaratat pinastamam. So there, Mahaprabhu says, whatever you do, you embrace me or you reject me, I am your eternal servant. So this is the mood of a devotee, and this is the mood of a pure devotee. Then interestingly enough, Prahlad Maharaj prays to the Lord. What is his prayer? It's a very interesting prayer, and this prayer is good for all of us, because this is the platform we have to come up to. It's a very nice prayer. He says in the 10th chapter, 7:10-7, Yadi dasyasi me kaman varam tom varadashabha kamanam hridi asamroham bhavadastu vrinevaram. So he says, he addresses the Supreme Lord as Varadashabha. You are the supreme benefactor. You are the person who can give the supreme benedictions. In that way, you are the supreme benefactor. So you are Varadashabha. You are the best among one who can give any benedictions. And he says, I really don't want anything from you. Even though you can give any benedictions, but I don't want anything from you. But if you wish to give me anything, please give me one thing. And what is that? Please remove all material desires from the core of my heart. So this is the only benediction that I want. How is that prayer? And how is that request? Actually, this is a most wonderful prayer to the Lord, that kindly remove all material desires from the heart. We may think, then what will happen to us? But then the real life starts. The real life as a devotee starts when all the material desires are removed from the heart. Now we may have some desires, and we approach the Lord with the desires because we don't have any other choice. But if we have this mood, okay, I want to come to the platform of complete surrender, where I don't have any more material desire, rather I want to just serve Krishna, then Krishna is very much pleased. Otherwise, what Krishna has to do? Krishna has to do the roundabout approach. Krishna will do that. If we have material desires and if we approach Krishna, what will Krishna do? Krishna can fulfill the desires. Sometimes Krishna can fulfill the desires, or Krishna may not fulfill the desires. It's up to him. What does Krishna say? Krishna says that if you come to me with material desires, sometimes I fulfill those desires in such a way that you don't ask for anything more. But sometimes what he does, if you go to Krishna with material desires, he thinks, why should I fulfill his material desire? He is a fool, but I am not. So I don't want to fulfill his material desire. So rather, even though he is not asking for it, I will forcefully give the shelter of my lotus feet. That is my reciprocation to my devotees. So Krishna can do that also. So whatever Krishna wants, he can give. But ultimately, he is pushing us towards no material desires. So that is the objective of Krishna. Krishna wants everyone to be desireless materially. And he wants us to be filled with spiritual desires. And that is the beginning of spiritual life, in one sense. In a pure spiritual life begins when the heart is completely filled with spiritual desires and no more material desires. And so, Prahlad Maharaj was liked by everyone. Everyone liked Prahlad Maharaj. The demigods liked him. Even his classmates who were demons, they liked him. His father didn't. Father didn't like him. He wanted to kill him. But still, he couldn't, because he was getting complete protection from the Lord. Even the elephant couldn't do anything. Even the rocks couldn't do anything. Even the serpents couldn't do anything. Even the fire couldn't do anything. Because he was completely protected by Krishna. So this is the reciprocation of the Lord to his pure devotee. We can see the life of Srila Prabhupada. He was charming. Everyone was charmed by the behavior of Srila Prabhupada. Even though some people were challenging, still they liked Srila Prabhupada. Even the press reporters, they would ask many weird questions, challenging questions, but ultimately they like Srila Prabhupada. They became satisfied. They left. Many times they challenged Srila Prabhupada. Why are you flying in the airplane, right? They asked. Because you are talking about all renunciation, right? Even our philosophy is completely talking about renunciation. Vairagya, Vidya, Nija, Bhakti, Yogam. The whole purpose of appearance of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to give knowledge and renunciation. Vairagya, Vidya, Nija, Bhakti, Yogam. So that's the purpose of appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Srila Prabhupada was preaching, he preached renunciation. But the reporters asked, why are you still flying in the airplane? What did Prabhupada say? He gave a few answers, I think. One time he told that the society is making so many sins and they are going in the sinful direction so fast pace. So I had to fly even faster than that. So at least I have to use an airplane. And one time, I think for the same question he told, they asked, I think Srila Prabhupada was explaining, right, that you can fly with the bird or a mantra or the carpet, or, you know, he was giving different points how to fly. So the reporters asked, then why don't you fly by any of these means? Prabhupada said, to become one among you. So his answers were challenging, but at the same time they liked it. They were happy with that. They were charmed by the answer. It's like one lady reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, Why are you shaved your head, right? That is really funny. Why have bald head, you know, shaven head? What was the answer? It is really funny. He said, why you have a short skirt or something like that?
Skirt.
Yeah. No, first they said, okay, you have a... It is better to have a cool head and a warm legs, right? The cool head and a warm leg. So Prabhupada had an answer for everything. So even though Prabhupada gave these kind of answers, everyone liked it. So everyone was charmed by Srila Prabhupada. So this is a pure devotee. Everyone likes. Because why? Because it's mentioned in this purport, the Lord dictates from the heart of all the living entities, so that they reciprocate in a certain way to a pure devotee. Sometimes it can be the example of Hiranyakashipu. He was reciprocating in this way, trying to kill Prahlad, but there was a purpose behind. But ultimately, he was protected by the Lord and the demon was killed by Narasimhadeva. So there is a purpose behind everything. When a pure devotee is interacting with this world, the Lord is in his control. So the Lord orchestrates everything. He reciprocates to the desires of that devotee in a complete way, in the most perfect way. Because the Lord has that capacity. And we don't have that capacity at all. And in this purport, Prabhupada also writes about, there are examples in our sampradaya where the tigers or the ferocious animals were friendly to devotees. There is an example of Murari Chaitanya, a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had the blessings of Lord Nityananda, because Nityananda is avadhut. He never followed any rules or regulations. He was beyond rules and regulations. So in the same way, Murari Chaitanya had the blessings of Lord Nityananda. So he used to walk freely. He used to wander freely in the forest. He would catch tigers. And he would slap tigers. He would get a tiger slap on his cheek. And then chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra into the ears of the tiger. In that way, he used to initiate even the tigers into the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this was not to be imitated. So this is Murari Chaitanya. So even the ferocious animals became very friendly with Murari Chaitanya. It is said he would catch serpents, snakes, venomous snakes, and he would put on his lap. And he will just continue chanting. This is like Lord Nityananda. He would dive into Ganges. What he would do? He would play with crocodiles. And the devotees used to think, what's going to happen with this Lord Nityananda? He has gone completely mad. But he is just playing. He will wrestle with crocodiles. So this is avadhut character. So Murari Chaitanya had this potency to be very friendly to animals, even the ferocious animals. And of course, Mahaprabhu demonstrated this. He is the Supreme Lord. We know when he was traveling in the forest of Jarikhanda, Balabhadra Bhattacharya says, Balabhadra Bhattacharya was the assistant to Mahaprabhu, and he was completely bewildered and he was completely surprised to see that all the animals were chanting and dancing in front of Mahaprabhu. There is this beautiful painting, right? Mahaprabhu chanting and dancing in the forest of Jharkhand, and all the tigers are in two legs, they are standing and they are chanting and dancing. All the monkeys, all the deers, all the birds, even the lions, everyone were chanting and dancing by the potency of Mahaprabhu. It is said, even the deer and the tiger would embrace each other because they were all feeling ecstatic love for Krishna. So this is the supreme presence of the Lord. So he can do anything. He can dictate the heart of anyone. So that is the Lord. The Lord has that potency. This is extreme because the Lord is in Mahabhava. Even there is a wonderful example of Ramanujacharya. He was just demonstrating one point, showing the power of Mahaprasadam. One time he was with his disciples and he was near a lake where he threw a bit of Mahaprasadam into the water, right? And a fish ate that Mahaprasadam. Immediately in front of all of them, this fish transformed into four-handed Vishnu form as a resident of Vaikuntha and just went up. Then all the disciples asked Ramanujacharya, "We are eating Mahaprasadam every day. We are not getting any Vishnu form. We are still in this material world. We are struggling. Why?" So he said, "This fish, they ate, or a bird, I think, a bird ate this Mahaprasadam without any offense. So that's why he got the form of Vaikunthavasi." So he was just demonstrating. It doesn't mean that if we throw some Mahaprasadam, immediately we will see all 400 forms. It doesn't mean that. But Ramanujacharya was showing his devotion. And by his devotion, he was able to make such a transformation. In fact, there is another pastime of Ramanujacharya in which he was narrating one aspect of one pastime of from Ramayana where Lord Ramachandra rejects someone. So Lord Ramachandra rejects because he is acting as the Supreme Lord. He is acting as the Maryada Purushottam, the most perfect person. So he rejected his own wife, right? So when one of his devotees, one of his disciples heard this pastime, he said, "I am leaving because the Lord can reject anyone. So what is my hope? Because my behavior is completely improper and the Lord, he is setting the standard and he is rejecting everyone, or he can reject, potentially he can reject. So what is my hope?" So Ramanujacharya said, "You sit here. The Lord is acting as the Maryada Purushottam, the most perfect person. But I am an Acharya. I am a representative of the Lord. So if I tell, okay, please give liberation to this person, the Lord can give. So the Lord may not give because he has to set some standard. But I am as an Acharya, if I speak on behalf of the Lord, for the Lord, then the Lord has to give liberation." So this is the power of Srila Prabhupada also. So it's mentioned in Bhagavatam that Bhaktosime Bhaktajana Priyaha. It is coming in the pastime of Ambarish Maharaj, where the Lord says, I am dear to my devotees. And I am dear, you know, I'll do anything for my devotee. But if somebody is dear to my devotees, then I am bound to reciprocate. So that is our hope. Because Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual masters, are very dear to Krishna. Then if we become dear to them, then there is hope. If we don't do that, then our position is very precarious. Because by our own strength, it is not possible to please Krishna. We have to become dear to our spiritual master. That's why we need to get initiated. There is no choice. Because being initiated means we are ready to surrender unto spiritual master. We are trying to, by initiation, spiritual master is pleased to some degree. Because at least he is ready to take the initiation. He is ready to follow the principles and ready to chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So the spiritual master is pleased. Then of course, then we have to really please him by following the further instructions. So it is a very important point. We need to be initiated. We need to be connected to the parampara to get the blessings from all the acharyas. right from our guru and on top of everyone. So this is the need for us to make progress in our spiritual life. Now, when you see the reciprocation of the Lord, the great devotees, they are seeing the Lord everywhere. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Sthavara jangam dekhe, na dekhe tara murti, sarvatra haya nija ishta deva spruti. That is, a pure devotee, he is not just seeing the sthavara and the jangama. They are not seeing the inanimate and animate objects. Rather, they are seeing the presence of Krishna everywhere. It doesn't mean that they are dysfunctional, that they cannot differentiate anything. They see, but they see everything in connection to Krishna. Everything reminds them of Krishna. So when everything, all the material objects and the non-material objects, reminds them of Krishna, since they have attraction for Krishna, then naturally one feeling comes to their mind. And what is that feeling? Since they have attraction for Krishna, they want to serve Krishna. This is actually the meaning of chanting. When Srila Prabhupada says that the meaning of chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is, O Radha, O Krishna, kindly engage me in your service. What it's meant is, this is the mood of chanting. When one feels attracted to Krishna and Radharani, naturally one wants to serve them. Say, for example, if we have our spiritual master here, or Srila Prabhupada here, I assume. If spiritual master is there, everyone wants to do some service, right? If a guru comes here, at least five people try to put, everyone will be looking for an opportunity who wants to put the mat under his feet, correct? If he's sitting somewhere, someone wants to put the garland on, give some water. So everyone is looking for an opportunity to serve an advanced devotee in his presence, right? We can see there's a competition to serve. Why? Because when we have a great devotee, everyone has this natural feeling, okay, I want to serve him. Similarly, when one sees Krishna or one develops a little bit of attraction for Krishna, that is by chanting, then natural feeling that comes to one's mind is, I want to serve you. This is the point. So that's why when they see even the material object, they have so much attraction for Krishna that they want to serve. So they see the whole material world as a paraphernalia to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they don't see any differentiation between this. They cannot see that, okay, this is just matter, so it has no connection to Krishna, but they see in connection to the Supreme Lord. So in fact, that's where in Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th and the 11th chapter, Krishna describes how to see Krishna everywhere. In the 7th chapter, Krishna, the Lord says how to see Krishna as the essence of everything, inside of everything, how to see. And in the 11th chapter, Krishna presents how to see Krishna externally as a universal form and all the planetary systems. So one is seeing Krishna externally and one is seeing Krishna internally as the essence of everything. So in either cases, Krishna is suggesting, okay, we have to start seeing Krishna. So this is the whole Bhagavad Gita is progressing, because in the 7th chapter beginning, Krishna says, okay, one has to see Krishna. By hearing, one has to see Krishna. Then 7th onwards, Krishna is demonstrating how to see Krishna internally and externally. And as practitioners, in fact, our progress in Krishna consciousness is through experience of Krishna. As we advance in Krishna consciousness, we see Krishna more and more. We experience Krishna. And it becomes in such a way that during the day, we try to experience Krishna. And how can we get to this platform? We need to endeavor for this. And this is based upon our sadhana. We need the support of the deities. When we see the deities beautifully, we tend to think about the deities throughout the day. Here and there, sparks of thought come to our mind. You know, we are thinking about the Lord here and there. When we chant nicely, then naturally we chant holy names. When we hear Bhagavatam, when we hear Bhagavad Gita, naturally we tend to think about Krishna. So this is our Krishna consciousness. Then when we are serving Krishna, we'll be able to think about Krishna. And in fact, Bhagavatam is giving such a wonderful opportunity to get attracted to Krishna. The whole purpose of Bhagavatam is that we can get attracted to Krishna and then we can serve Krishna. Bhagavatam presents the reciprocation of the Lord and his devotees. And Bhagavatam gives wonderful pastimes in which we can see how pure devotees are interacting with Krishna. And in that way, our heart can be moved by those interactions. So our mind can be slowly captured by these pastimes. So when we develop this attraction for the pastimes of the Lord, then it becomes easier to chant Krishna's names. It becomes easier to serve Krishna. So it is a back and forth process. By chanting, we will be able to appreciate pastimes of the Lord. And by developing attraction for pastimes of the Lord, we will be able to chant nicely. So I was thinking about a couple of nice verses from Srimad Bhagavatam in the 8th chapter of 10th canto, where you can see how Krishna is performing wonderful pastimes in the mud of Vrindavan. So this is the pastime even before the Damodar Leela, because during Damodar Leela, Krishna is ready to walk and run, right? But before that, this is the crawling pastimes of Krishna, which is very attractive. There are around 4 or 5 verses in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 8th chapter describing the crawling pastimes of Krishna. And it's a very wonderful pastime because there is a sweet reciprocation between the elderly devotees of Krishna and the Lord and Balaram. So Krishna and Balaram, they are simultaneously enacting this pastime. So in the 22nd verse of the 8th chapter, Shukadeva Goswami says, Tavangri yukmam anusrutya sarisrupanto ghosha prakhosha rujiram vrajakardameshu yannada krishna manasa vanusrutya lokam mugdha prabhitavat upetiranti matroho. So Shukadeva Goswami says that the two lords, they started moving their legs just like snakes. They were crawling in the mud of Vrindavan just like snakes. Tavangri yukmam anusrutya sarisrupanto. Sarisrupanto means the movement of a snake. So snake doesn't go straight. Similarly, when you observe the movements of kids who are crawling, they also don't necessarily go straight. They just go here and there. In the same way, both the lords, Krishna and Balaram, they started crawling in the mud of Vrindavan. It was not just vraj-raj, it was not just the dust, but there was mud. And it said, ghosha praghosha ruchiram. And as they were moving in the mud of Vrindavan, the ankle bells were shaking and it was producing such a very melodious sound. And all the residents of Vrindavan, they got completely captured by the sound. And they were thinking, oh, Krishna is coming to us. So all of them, they stood and they started observing the movements of Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna and Balaram, they thought, okay, here is my mother. Here are my parents. So Krishna started thinking, seeing all the residents, seeing some ladies in Vrindavan, Krishna started thinking, this is Yashodamai. And Balaram started thinking, this is Rohini. So in that way, they started moving slowly towards two different ladies in Vrindavan. But as they went closer to these ladies, Krishna realized and Balaram realized they were not their mothers. So they felt great fear. Prabhitavat. As if they were fearful. Actually, the Lord can never be fearful. But they acted as if they were fearful. So they felt very afraid. Oh, who is this strange people? And thinking in that way, they crawled around and they found their real parents. Then, it's mentioned that after this, as they approached their mothers, they became so happy. Mother Yashoda and Rohini, they became so happy and they got their sons. They actually embraced them. It is mentioned, Tanmadaro, Tanmadaro, Nijasuto Grahayasprahanto, Pangangaragaruchiro Parikarhya Dorbhyam, Dattvastanam Prapibadosma Mukham Niriksha, Sniktas Mitalpa Dashanam Yayutu Pramodam. He said, they captured both the sons. So Ishtadamai, he immediately caught hold of Krishna and Mother Rohini caught hold of Balaram. And it's a beautiful description of the form of the Lord. So as As we know, Krishna's body is of blue in complexion. But that was completely smeared with the mud and dust of Vrindavan. And not only that, that was also smeared with the urine and cow dung from the cows of Vrindavan. So Krishna's body was a mix of mud, cow urine, and cow dung. But they were not thinking. They were completely happy seeing this beautiful form of the Lord. And they embraced tightly. And it is mentioned, their teeth were just growing up. Just growing. So it is mentioned Krishna just opened his mouth to suck milk from his mother. So when he opened his mouth, Mother Yashoda saw the teeth, the small teeth which is just sprouting, just coming out. And seeing that, mother became so happy. So it is mentioned, Yayutu Pramodam, she became transcendentally happy. So this is the love Mother Yashoda had for her kid. So these are, and the pastime continues, how Krishna, after this, again leaves, goes away from his mother and catches the tail of cows. And he starts skating in the mud of Vrindavan. Because it was just like a nice place to ski, because the mud was there, the cow dung was there, it was wet and soft, and he would just hold on to the cow's tails, and the calf's tails, they become afraid, who is holding on to us, and they will start fleeing, and Krishna and Balaram would have a very good time, so you know, just skiing around in the mud of Vrindavan. So these are the pastimes mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. So by hearing this pastime, our mind can get attracted to these pastimes. And as we get attracted to different aspects of Krishna, our material desires will go away. If we think about Krishna, then there is no material desires. So this is the way we can purify. Then chanting will improve, our services will improve. So there is always a hand-in-hand relation between our services and our sadhana. So as one improves, the other thing also improves. If we improve our service, it helps us hearing and chanting. As our hearing and chanting improves, that improves our service. So this is the eternal progression in devotional service. So as mentioned here, by progressing, we're trying to progress in this way, we can develop this quality that we will also be friendly to everyone, and also people will be friendly to us. In that way, people will get easily connected to us, so that we can give Krishna consciousness. Like Srila Prabhupada is an exceptional example. And the great devotees, they were friendly and people were friendly to them. They were ready to listen. And in that way, through that bridge, they gave Krishna to them. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhupada.
One comment.
'Cause Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Hari.
God, mercy on you, O Son.